We have an opportunity now to talk to Douglas Fenton, who's the co-administrator of the International Anglican Youth Network. And Douglas, that's a fairly fancy title for just youth work. Is that what you're doing?
Well, youth in the communion stretches out because we're talking about people ordinarily who are 16-year-olds up to about 28, which is where the communion defines young adult ministry, although ours tends to be within the 18 to 30 age group simply because of liability issues. When you bring people to gatherings, if you've got minors there, then you're into a different kind of legal requirement. So we usually are referring to 18 to 30-year-olds. And youth in the communion talks about those people as being youth. Sometimes in other parts of the communion, young adult is used to identify that age group. But youth in this context is talking about those sort of post-high school or high school and university age group, and then those who are in moving into the next generation of their life.
Has the International Network been around for some time?
The network came about as a resolution at ACC in about 1983-84, and it was in 1986-87 that several members who were youth officers in their respective provinces got together to talk about having a gathering, and the ACC affirmed that. And so that first gathering took place in 88 in Belfast. It was in that meeting and was reminded and by Archbishop Thabo from the Church in Southern Africa that he was in attendance. I know Stephen Hale, who is a bishop in Australia, was in attendance. I know that Jeremiah Tama, who is a bishop now in Kenya, was in attendance. So those kinds of young leaders were already present in the church, and it was because of their involvement in youth and young adult programming in their respective provinces that I think advanced them into more senior leadership roles now that they hold across the church.
It's a fairly impressive kind of record. How does it work? I mean, how does the mandate of the Youth Network support potential leaders and people, in fact, who are leaders in them right now?
One of the primary goals of the network is to talk about how we resource provinces to do better what they're already doing, to build a regional network so that people locally can support one another in the work that they do, so that the ministry with young people is contextualized, that it's not something that the Canada is saying to someone in Uruguay that they should do youth ministry in this kind of way, but rather to say, here's the best practices that's going on in this part of the communion. You may want to take this and make it your own within your own context. That's part of it. The other part is to help build that network so that people know who each other are, can be in contact with each other, and exploit the resources that various parts of the community have. What the young people are doing in the Philippines, what the young people are doing in Mexico in terms of evangelism and mission development are things that I think that other parts of the communion aren't doing very efficiently or effectively, and they can say, well, how are you doing that, and how is it that we can do that in our own place so that we build up the church in the place that we're in?
Not a one-size-fits-all solution, then, in terms of youth work and that sort
Correct.
Of thing.
Yes. Okay.
Now, is part of the mandate to encourage face-to-face encounters? Is that part of what you try to do?
We've done that in terms of the network gatherings, and we've had the two large gatherings, the one in 88 in Belfast. The next one we had was in 97 in Wales, and then we've had smaller gatherings of just the youth officers. We've had two of those in Connecticut in the U.S. and one in England. The next gathering we hope will be adjacent to, of the network that is, adjacent to a proposed regional gathering in Asia that will take place tentatively in 2011 in Hong Kong. So there will be opportunities for face-to-face. And our long-term hope is that the regions will become more active. It would be grand to say that every 3 years we could have an international gathering of all the young people in the community, but we know financially and politically that's not always possible. But it is possible on the whole for that to take place regionally. And if those regions can become more developed and strengthened in the ministry that they have together in those places, I think the long-term effect will be that the church will be built up much more soundly in those regions as opposed to this large gathering. When and if we have the resources to do that international gathering again, we ought to, because I think, you know, it brings all of that energy together. And I think it doesn't only energize the young people who get to come to that gathering, but it energizes the whole communion, the whole church.
I know that an idea was in a resolution at ACC 14, to have a designated Sunday in each province that would celebrate youth ministry. Is that right?
We were hoping for provinces to identify a Sunday in the calendar that suits their context, to say this is a Sunday that we would celebrate ministries with young people. So perhaps we're celebrating ministries with young people in a church that only has young people who are 13 to 16 in the congregation, or that they have a campus ministry that's attached, and that they would draw that group of people in so that it's a broad range. But it's really to hold up to the church the ministry that's already taking place and perhaps not being highlighted or underlined as well as it might be. Or the province might say, this is an opportunity for us to come together and have a youth festival. So in any way that the province thinks that it should do that and express its both celebration and gratitude for the ministries of young people and those who work with them, then that's what we're hoping to do with that.
I know that one of your goals talks about the inclusion of young people in the decision-making of the church. How's that going? Are you making some inroads in that in any way?
I think there are a few provinces that do so, and certainly some dioceses that have been very proactive in saying young people are really incredibly important. I know the Canadian Church years ago took the bold step of saying that we want to have at General Synod a youth member from every diocese, originally sitting separately, but then now fully included in each diocesan delegation. And I think it's that kind of example that that the rest of the church needs to see, so that it's not frightened away from including young people and hearing young people's participation and not just their voice, but allowing them to take that leadership role, allowing them to exercise a vote. There are as many different kinds of young people and young people's opinions as there are people who are 40 or 70. And I think sometimes the church is afraid to hear that voice, either because it's either too prophetic or maybe it sounds too much like the one they hear already.
For a young person, a young people's group, perhaps a parish or a diocese that's beginning to take the whole sense of youth ministry more seriously, what do they do? Do they go to your website? How do they get in touch? How can they learn about the youth network in a better way?
Certainly the website is a primary way of doing that. All of the rationale for the network is there. The history of the network is there. There are articles and examples of the kinds of projects that have taken place around the communion, and also contact information for the various network representatives in the regions. So that would be the primary way of getting in touch with us. And certainly to write to myself or my co-administrator, Peter Ball, who's the Church of England Youth Advisor, either one of us can put them in touch with the network.
Douglas, thank you so very much for sharing all of this with us. And we hope and pray for all the future ministry involved with the International Anglican Youth Network. Thank you.
Thank you very much.